Good morning, Taylor. Good morning. I'm going to lead us off in prayer as we start today's service. Can we stand for prayer and bow our heads? Lord, as we gather here this morning with grateful hearts, thanking you for the gift of a new day, thank you for continuously guiding our steps and leading us on a path for you. Today, we seek your presence in our lives, in our homes, in our relationships, in our schools, and in our jobs. Inspire us with your wisdom, comfort us with your peace, and strengthen us with your grace. Help us to listen to your word with open hearts and serve one another with compassion and humility. We pray for our church community and for all those in need. May your blessings be upon those who are sick, lonely, or struggling. Give them hope and healing and surround them with your love and support. As we come together in worship today, let our praises rise to you and our prayers reflect our trust in your will. Lead us in unity and love, and help us to share the fruits of your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now we will turn to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Say amen when you have it. That's Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Amen. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Amen. So now I will call Sister Leah up for a sermonic selection.
We always need the power of the Holy Spirit. We are so grateful for what the Lord has done and how our Father sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins. He rose again with all power and ascended back unto the Father, but he sent his Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us. Hallelujah. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Oh, I tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. Where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. He's our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Oh, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Oh, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What a wonderful solo. Outstanding, Sister Leah. Outstanding. I don't even think I've heard that before. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank God we've made it. We've made it to another Sunday. Let's go right to the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, let's return to the 13th chapter, the Gospel of St. Mark. I'm going to invite you to turn there with me. Again, Mark, the 13th chapter. So we're going to find our primary text. And if you will, I'm going to add to the witness out of 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, the first couple of verses. Amen. So Mark 13 for our primary text and 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, for the witness. Josh, was I able to get my stuff to you guys? No, it's not you, that's my fault. I missed my deadline. I sent it late. Now I see why the kids do it. The teacher says, I want it Friday in class, and they turn it in next Tuesday at lunch, and wonder why they're getting a low score. Well, you missed the deadline. But nonetheless, this is how we do it. How we used to do it. We didn't have technology. Mark 13. 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Okay? You guys have that? Everybody have it? Because I want you to read along with me. Because this is important that you see this. Now, I'm going to start at the first verse in 13. And we covered all of this last week, but I want to read it again just so you have the context and the flow of what Christ is saying. Okay? And so he went out of the temple, and one of his disciples said to him, Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. The disciples were marveling at the wonder of Herod's temple, and they wanted Jesus to be impressed with it as well. Right? And then what you do, hey man, look how big that building is. Look how, it's amazing to you. You want someone else to see him. Jesus answered and said to him, Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. They wanted Jesus to be amazed at the compound of the Temple Mount. But contrary to what their expectation was, Jesus responded and said, this whole thing is going to be destroyed. That was his response. Now, he sat on the Mount of Olives, which is opposite the temple. He comes out of the Temple Mount, goes up on the Mount of Olives. And his disciples, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, come to him and say, tell us, when will these things be? These things referring to the destruction of the temple. And what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? The disciples then and the church age now have always been preoccupied with the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. The disciples then, right? If you don't realize it from your own biblical studies or church history, at the time of his life, Jesus was the most popular man in the world. You raise folks from the dead, folks gonna know about you. And you don't need a Twitter account or a chat or folks gonna know about you, right? It wasn't just long ago that he just raised Lazarus from the dead, right? On his way to Jerusalem so his notoriety has skyrocketed. But it was already going up, right? If you understand his life intertwined with John the Baptist, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, right? Always remember this. Someone greater must always anoint you. When John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, Up until that time, John the Baptist was very popular. He was the premier preacher of his day. Jesus even said so. Said he comes with the spirit of Elijah. But when he pointed Jesus out, everything shifted in the kingdom. And it went from John to Jesus. And everybody knew about it. Everybody could tell. Everybody could sense it. That there was a new man on the scene. Are you with me? And so as the followers of Jesus, they all wanted to know, well, man, this guy is doing this thing. He's preaching, he's healing, miracle. I mean, it's just, oh, they were like, well, when is he going to set up his kingdom, right? Disciples wanted to know because they said, look, when he sets it up, we all going to what? We all going to be a part of that. They wanted Roman rule to end. The Jews wanted to be free again. And they were hoping Jesus was the guy to do it. And so they said, what will be the sign? When will we know? What can we look for that will tell us? Ah, yep, here it comes. He's getting ready to set it up. Jesus answering them began to say, take heed that no one deceives you. He said, many will come in my name saying, I am he, and will deceive many. He said, but when you hear of wars, rumors of wars, do not be troubled. For such things must happen, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, famines, troubles. He said, these are but the beginning of sorrows. He said, when you see stuff going crazy, he said, that's just the beginning. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver up to councils. They will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues, and you will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And we worked that out last Sunday. They were like, yep, it's trouble, but your trouble is going to be for my glory. It's going to allow you to speak of me to people you wouldn't ordinarily get to speak to me about. Trouble is going to bring you there. Then I'm going to stir your gift up. The gospel must first be preached to all nations. But when they arrest you, deliver you up, do not worry beforehand, premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. We just were referring to now. Now, brother will betray brother to death, father his child, children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures till the end shall be saved. Right? That's what we worked last week. This is what we got to work on this week. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, and let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Him who is on the housetop, do not go down into the house, nor take anything out of the house. Let him who is in the field not go back for your clothes or anything else. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in winter. For in those days there will be tribulation, such as has not been seen since the beginning of the creation, which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he has shortened the days. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, he is there, he said, don't believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if it were possible, even the elect. But again, just like he said in verse 5, take heed. I have told you these things beforehand. Okay? Let's jump over to 2 Thessalonians. We're staying in the New Testament. You have that? 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. He was writing in this particular place because the church here had thought Christ, the return of Christ had already occurred. He said, don't be troubled at this. He said, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, the parousia, right, the coming, the second coming of Christ, that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Okay? And if you have your own Bible, underline that. Okay? If you got a church Bible, don't write in it. Unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin, if you're reading out of the King James Version, it may say the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself, listen, above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Okay? You guys got that? If I would have got my slides in time, you would see the subject or what we're going to talk about today is the abomination of desolation. Right? Back in verse 14. It is what Jesus called the abomination of desolation. Okay? That's what we're going to talk about. You guys ready? Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you how it prepares us, not only for today, but for tomorrow. And thank you for your mercy that spares us from the destruction of today as well as the destruction of tomorrow. Thank you for the hope that we have in the second coming of our Savior and how we long and look for that day. Until that time, keep us by and through your word. Amen. You may be seated all over the church. So grateful for our young master, John Mitchell. John Mitchell's here out of school. John Mitchell will be spending 1 month in Japan. And starting in 2 months. Look, he done got an extra month. I don't even know where he got it. He got 2 months. In Japan. So let's give him a hand for that, right? Young man star just keeps rising and rising. So we got our work cut out for us today. And I say that because what we're dealing with, as I told you on last Sunday, what we're dealing with is eschatology. Jesus is talking about the end time. When the disciples want to know the coming of Christ, the establishment of his kingdom, they were looking at it in an immediate sense. Like, yo, this thing is going to happen and it's going to be on and popping right now. What they didn't realize was that the coming of Christ and the establishment of his kingdom was a future time. It was going to happen, not like next week, next month, like, but in the future, and it would come at the end of time. When he established his kingdom, right? millennial period, and he now gives it back to the Father. God's going to wrap it all up. The show's going to be over. Right? Right? Now, they didn't realize that. Look, they were thinking it was right now. But Jesus is now going to try to teach them or tell them that is going to come at a future time, and it's going to come at the end of time. Okay? So let's deal with this. The abomination of desolation. And we'll work it out when I give the benediction. If you didn't get the handout from Wednesday night's Bible study, you're going to have an opportunity to receive that today when we get to the benediction. I tell you how we're going to do that. But like I said, for the next couple of weeks, we're just talking eschatology. We're talking about the end of time. We're going to preach about it on Sundays, and we're going to deal with it on Wednesday nights, right? And we must deal with it because Christ has given it to us, right? So we've got to, the old prophets used to say, you got to eat the bitter and the sweet, right? Right? We got to understand all things. And so that's what we're dealing with. So in Jesus's Sermon on the Mount, he talks about this abomination of desolation, right? And if you're like me, you got to ask him, like, what is that? Right? Because that's not a term you hear every day. It's not a term that is often in the preaching of Jesus. But here he says in chapter verse 14, he says, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, so there's a research point we can go and look, standing where it ought not, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. The catastrophe that befell Jerusalem in the Jewish war of AD 66 to AD 70 was a paradigm in history of the woes that would transpire at the end of history before the return of the Son of Man. Mark 13 alternates, listen, Mark 13 alternates between an immediate future, referenced by the phrase, these things, right? These things refer to the fall of the temple, and the ultimate future, captured by the phrase, those days, which speak of the great tribulation and the parousia, the second coming of Christ. The hinge between these two future occurrences, okay? The future between these two future occurrences hinges on something called the abomination of desolation. Are you guys following me? So Jesus is talking about the future, but he's talking about it and at two different times in the future. How many know there's next year and then there's the next decade, right? They're both in the future, but they're what? Two different times in the future. So if you can understand that, Jesus says, I'm going to talk about the future, but I'm going to talk about it in two different states. There is one future that is coming, the destruction of the temple, right? That's a future that's going to come. That's the AD 70, right? When Rome comes, destroys Jerusalem and burns it down to the ground. But then he says there's also another future that's coming. There's a time after that, that similar to that will also be a prophecy fulfilled. And he said that's the abomination of desolation. Okay? The abomination that causes desolation refers to the man of lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This man will exalt himself in the temple of God. And he will exalt himself by establishing himself to be the Son of God. Okay? You guys with me? It says here, he will exalt himself in the temple of God and present himself to be the Son of God. Both these texts, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and Mark 13, depicts a blasphemous antichrist who will do a scandalous deed that will trigger the return of the Lord Jesus. Are you guys with me? Talking about the antichrist, this man of lawlessness, this son of perdition, is the antichrist. That's what he's talking about now, right? And I'm glad somebody said Trump. Trump is not the antichrist. And watch. I'm glad you said it because I'm not making fun of it. Why? We got the word of God. This is why he told us. So we wouldn't confuse, right? Right? All throughout Paul's writing, Christ always said what? We would that you what? Not be ignorant. You got to know. His disciples didn't know, so he what? He told them. This is how you're going to know, right? So good, we're working. Here it is, right? These texts depict a blasphemous antichrist who will do a scandalous deed that will trigger the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish you could get that. What the antichrist does will cause Christ to come. The coming of Christ will crush the antichrist. I wish I had it. This is tough preaching. End time preaching is tough because we're not used to it. As preachers, we don't preach it nearly enough because we're always preaching a blessing today, right? And a shout tomorrow. But there is an end time coming. And Christ spoke about it openly. What? So that we not what? Be deceived. Right? And thinking it's a time when it's not. Thinking someone is something that they're not. Right? Okay, let's keep working. Now get this. With the incarnation and the baptism of Jesus, God presents his son in the earth. Are you with me? The incarnation, the miraculous birth, and the baptism of Jesus. By doing so, God presents his son into the earth realm. And we know that why? Because we got the witness. Matthew 3 tells us that when John brought him up out the water, the Bible said a voice came from heaven. And the voice said what? This guy, right? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Right? So we got the witness. Now watch this. With this abomination of desolation and this man of lawlessness, this son of perdition, 2 Thessalonians 2, get this, Satan now presents his son in the earth, and he is the Antichrist. You guys with me? The incarnation and baptism, that's God presenting his son in the earth realm, right? With the coming of the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, that is Satan presenting his son in the earth. The Son of God, during his life, his ministry, blesses the people of the world and brings salvation from sin. Right? The Antichrist, when he comes, curses the world and destroys all people during his ministry. Right? This is what's happening. He said, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Daniel, the ninth chapter, Daniel 11:27, Daniel 14. Go back, read about it. This is what Daniel saw in his, what he called the 70th week. He had a vision of the end time. And here, Jesus is referring back to Scripture. All Scripture supports Scripture. Right? But you never see God going outside the Word of God for a reference. All Scripture supports Scripture. Jesus is now going back to what the Old Testament prophet said. Bringing it up full. He said, look, it's coming. It's coming. And so he says, let the reader understand. This insertion by Mark. Let the reader understand. It's interesting because you would think he would want the hearer to understand. Right? But he says, no, let the reader understand. The readers read when? Later. Hearers hear it when? Right now. Jesus talking, I'm like, okay, I heard what Jesus said. But when you write a letter, they get it what? Days later. Weeks later. Right? So you write for what? A future time. Mark said, what Jesus is talking about in this Sermon on the Mount, Mark tells his, this is for a future time. Right? He's trying to get them to understand this is future. And he said, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. This abomination of desolation. And Holy Spirit, help me. Right? Holy Spirit, help me. So what it is, and the reason why I want you to get this document that has all of this terminology regarding the end times. And Jesus is going to talk about it here. He talks about there's the tribulation. Right? The tribulation, according to Christian, to the Word of God and theologians, the tribulation is a 7-year period. Right? It's going to last 7 years. And halfway through, 3.5 years through, something's going to happen. And what's going to happen is this abomination of desolation. During the tribulations, you're going to hear about wars, rumors of wars, fathers against children, parents against children. It's going to be hell on earth. But as you study this out, during that period, the Antichrist comes, and at the beginning of the tribulation, he aligns himself with Israel. He comes and befriends Israel. He comes, he's not an enemy, he comes as a friend. During the beginning of the tribulation, during that period, either before or at the beginning, the temple is rebuilt. The sacrifices of the Old Testament system reestablished. The Antichrist befriends the nation of Israel. And then halfway through, he changes. The reality is he didn't change. He was what? He was setting them up. Halfway through, 3.5 years, so you get, the tribulation has begun, things are getting bad, but there is worship in Jerusalem. But now, the Antichrist comes and they now change it. He said, no, we're done with this. We're done with the worship, we're done with the sacrifices, and now the Antichrist establishes himself in the temple of God and presents himself as the Son of God. He now forces everybody to worship him. This is what he does. And when he does that, he doesn't do it in the White House. He doesn't do it in the British Palace. He does it in Jerusalem. He does it in the temple. And you get this where he says, in the place that he should not be. Everybody could go anywhere in the temple except what? The most holy place. The most holy place was reserved exclusively for the presence of God. And the high priest could go in once a year. So the reality is what? He couldn't even go in there. One day God gave him grace. Said, I'll allow you to come in. One purpose, sin offering. First for your own sins, then for the sins of the people. But other than that the most holy place was reserved for God and God alone. But with the abomination of desolation. And look, and everybody knew that, Jew and Gentile. They didn't have to believe it, but they knew that in the temple compound, that inner sanctuary, that's the most holy place. That's reserved exclusively for God. Right? Growing up in your grandparents' house, you knew there was some stuff, there were some rooms in your grandma's house you just didn't go in. You were so scared to go in there. And grandmama's house wasn't even that big, but they had established it in everyone's mind. Don't go in there. Don't touch that. Right? You touch that, that's on you. That's your own fault now. I told you. You knew better. Right? The most holy place. The Antichrist comes. And he goes into the most holy place. And there he stands in the place reserved exclusively for God. He goes in boldly. He goes in unashamedly. And in so doing, he presents himself to the world as the Son of God. And it is this that Jesus refers to. It is this that Daniel wrote about, the abomination of desolation. This is the worst of the worst. You can't offend God more than this. Than to see, to place yourself in the seat reserved for God himself. I told you a couple Wednesday nights ago that what got the enemy destroyed is what? His I wills. I will ascend into the mount of God. I will ascend in the heavens above God. Even when he fell then, it was a foreshadowing of what he would do in the future. And when he says he's standing there, it helps us to understand he puts himself there and he continues there for a period of time. Tribulation, 7 years. The abomination of desolation comes halfway through, 3.5 years. He presents himself in Jerusalem as the Son of God. And then there is another 3.5 years. That second 3.5 years is called the Great Tribulation. The whole 7 is tribulation because all of it's trouble. But that back half when the Antichrist sets himself up as God, unlike the real Son of God who came to bless the people, the Antichrist will release violence in the earth. I want you to read it for yourself. Look what it says. Verse 19, look what it says. For in those days, what days? The future days. The days of what? The abomination. Look what he says. There will be tribulation. Get this. Such as has not been since the beginning of creation, which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. Did you guys read that? Let's read it again. This is the abomination of desolation standing. Continue. He said, during those days, it will be tribulation as has not been seen since the beginning of the creation which God created. This reveals that the tribulation Jesus is referring to is in it's in the future, and it will be the greatest that has ever occurred in human history. It will have a long duration, the other 3.5 years. It will be characterized by severe pressure and continual anguish. This is the great tribulation at the end of the age. He's going to release hell on earth. And Jesus himself, listen what Jesus said. He said it's going to be so bad, it will be unlike anything from God's creation of the heaven and earth. There's nothing any of us can point to in our history that will rival what the Antichrist unleashes on the world. Not the Holocaust. And I love the Jews. I got Jewish friends. I don't want to see that on anybody. But what he's going to release, not the 400 years of slavery in America for black folks. And we can relate to that. That's our history. We see those movies, those films, reread those books and those stories, and our heart breaks, but it'll be nothing compared to what the Antichrist does. Not World War I, not World War II, all of it will pale in comparison. So much so, Jesus said, if you're on the rooftop, don't come down. He said, if you're at work, don't go home. This is in your Bible. You're looking at me like I'm making this stuff up. This is in your Bible. He said, woe to the pregnant women. I wish you were born at another time. Because you got to be concerned, but not only saving yourself, but that which you also care. He said, woe to you who get this in the wintertime. The wintertime is not winter as you and I think of as cold, but in Palestine, the wintertime meant the flood season. The rivers were up. And because the rivers were up, the ground is muddy, right? The ground is unsettled, right? In Palestine, you wanted a dry season. Why? Because the ground would be stable. You could run fast on stable ground. The chariots could go on, but when it's muddy, you what? You can't make any headway. That's how bad it is. Jesus says, when you see this happen, don't go back and get anything. He said, flee to the mountains. This is in your Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. This is in your Bibles. And look, here, God presents his son. Now Satan presents his son. And if Satan could have his way, he would have his son destroy God's earth. Right? Notice I said God's earth. Right? He wanted to take over heaven. God said, you got to get out of here, man. That just is not going to happen. So he kicks him out of heaven. And that's why Isaiah said, I saw him fall. My God. When God kicks you out, there was a thing we used to do when we get in trouble when we were young. We go in the house through the back way. Because we know as soon as we got in and had to confront our mom or our dad, everybody on the block would hear you getting a whipping. And all your boys were just going to wait until after the month or two you finally got off of probation, and they were going to laugh at you because they heard you squealing as your pop laid another one and another one. Right? So we go in the back way. We go meet our dad down in the basement so no one could hear. There's coming a day when Satan will present his son. And he's going to present him as God, and many people will believe him. They're going to think he's God. Because he will do miracles. He will perform some wonders. And because people have not heard and believe the word of God, many will be deceived and will follow him to their death. Are you guys with me? The only thing that saves or brings to a conclusion the great tribulation is verse 20. If he would have told this story without verse 20, I don't know what we would do. But look at, you got to look at verse 20. Here he is, verse 20, he says this. Unless the Lord. Look at somebody and say, thank God he stepped in. Unless the Lord, watch this, is in the future, but the future to God is already present. Go ahead, it's open. Go ahead, Doc. John, tell him to get in there. John, it's open. Tell him to go in there. Get in there, man. I know I'm preaching long. They said the Antichrist comes. This period called the abomination of desolation is taking place. It's worse than anything imaginable in human history. And the only thing that curtails it, the only thing that brings it to the end is the Lord. He said, unless the Lord had already made up his mind Oh my God. And when I see this, I think of Job. Because when it came to Job, God gave the devil a season. He said, you got a season, Doc. But how many know seasons change? How many know seasons come to an end? Even though God released him and allowed him to attack Job, just as the Antichrist will be released and allowed to attack believers and unbelievers during the great tribulation. God has already made up his mind. When enough is it. Verse 20 said, unless the Lord, are you reading this? Had shortened those days. Listen what it says. No flesh would be saved. He was just going to grind it into the ground. The earth and all that dwells in it. This is in your Bible. You are reading this right now. Jesus is telling you, unless God had already determined to shorten the day, meaning that the devil wasn't finished. But God said, that's enough. And he said, it was for the elect's sake. That's how I know God loves me. God, the Lord said, that's enough. Enough's enough. Your time is over. Your time has come to an end. And when time is over for the Antichrist, there's a period of 75 days. But then they tell us of the Peru. That's when they look to the heavens. Because the day that you are hoping for has drawn nigh. That's when the real Son of God shall appear. That's when the real Messiah, the crystal, shall return to the earth. The second advent of the Son of God shall come at the end of these things. Somebody shout yet. Look at somebody and tell them, it's over, devil. God has set a time limit. How long you have. He set a limit on how much you'll be able to do. And when God gets ready, it'll be over. Somebody shout yes. But for the elect's sake, he chose to shorten the days. And the very thing that Satan thought he could accomplish with his son will be the very thing that triggers the coming of the real Son of God. Instead of destroying the elect of God, he hastens his own demise. People, look, this is called the wisdom of God. The Corinthian writer said he hid creation in his wisdom. That meaning God had looked at all angles of it. He saw every side of it. Then he hid what he created in his wisdom so that the devil wouldn't know that the very thing that he was doing to exalt himself above God would actually release the powers, the hidden power of God, not the power of creation. Now you're talking about the power of recreation with the coming of his son and the abomination of desolation is brought to an end. Jesus said, when you see that, he said, when you see that, know the end is at hand. Here it is. And if anyone says to you, look, Christ is here, Christ is there, for false Christ and false prophets will rise. So not only will you have the Antichrist, you will have his preachers. Telling you, I'm him here. He's in Jerusalem, but we represent him here in West Philly. Jesus, he said, many of folks are going to go for it. This is in your Bible. I'm not making it up. And it says they're going to show signs and wonders with one purpose, to deceive you. Not to bless you, not to help you, but to deceive you. And he says, if it were possible, the deception will be so great and so crafty and so cunning. Let me say it this way. AI won't have anything on the Antichrist. You think AI is doing it to you now? When the Antichrist comes, you'll hear a lie and think it true. You with me? It's going to happen. And he said, the only thing that saves us, the elect, those that live during this time, is the wisdom of God received through the word of God and confirmed by the Spirit of God. He says it. He said, if it were possible, he would deceive even the elect. But the only thing that we have now, the only thing that the people then will have the word of God. We'll have the presence of his Spirit, the Spirit of God, inside of us, guiding us. The Bible said the steps of a good man. God's going to tell you where to walk. He's going to show you the path. He's going to lead you beside still water. All hell breaking out everywhere. But for the elect, God's going to show, go this way. I got still waters. I got green pastures for you in the midst of hell. This is the period of abomination, of desolation. But God's going to lead us through until his son comes again. So what is the purpose of all of this? Why does Christ, why do the prophets tell us about the end time. Jesus issues in verse 23 a prophetic warning to always be on guard. Jesus told his disciples to watch and pray. I mean, you got to be on guard. You got to be alert. He told the elect refugees of the future all they will need to know to avoid being misled and deceived by Satan's emissary. And in like manner, he has told the people of this age all we need to know to be saved from our sins and to ensure our life with him forever. Hebrews 3:15 said, today if you will hear his voice, and harden not your heart. John 3:16 tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Roman writer tells us in chapter 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Even in our text, Mark 13, he who endures to the end shall be saved. How do you make it through something like that? The same way you make it through what you're going through now. By giving your life to Christ and trusting your future to him. Not the future you can control. Not the future that you hope someone can give you. But entrust your life to Christ. Both today and tomorrow. He is the Son of God. Shall we all stand? Eschatology. It may be the end of days and the end of times for the Antichrist, for the world we know, but it will not be the end of days or the end of time for the God we trust. Because John through an eye of faith said, I saw a new heaven and I saw a new earth. John said, I saw a new Jerusalem coming down out of the heavens of God. God is going to get back what he created in the first place. The devil's not going to outdo him. He's not going to undermine the plan and purposes of it. And what I want you to understand, if God takes that much care over his creation to restore it, to reestablish it, to be better, how much more will he for those he has created? Do you not know you're more precious to him than the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the lilies of the garden? And Solomon said, look how much care God puts into dressing up the garden. How much more for those that will trust him? So much more. And all Christ says to them then and to us now, there's one here greater than the temple. Standing right here. Not me, but the one I represent. His name is Christ Jesus. If you're here this Sunday and you've never made a choice to receive Jesus, I encourage you to do it today. Whether you're here in our sanctuary, whether you're joining us online, Facebook, YouTube, however you're getting this message, and you have now heard about the abomination of desolation that will come. I told you last Sunday, don't worry about tomorrow. Focus on what you can do today. Are you here? If you're here, I invite you to come forward. If you're here, say, today's my day. Today I hear the Lord's voice. Today. It was end time preaching. It wasn't about being blessed. It was about what is to come. The Holy Spirit has caused me to make a decision today. If you're here today, if you're online, get in the chat room. Let us know, Pastor, I heard the message today. Today the Lord has tried my heart. Today the Lord has stirred up my spirit. And I don't want to be deceived. I spent my whole life being tricked and fooled and taken advantage of. Today I give my life to Christ. If you're here this Sunday and your love for the Word of God is not what it should be. A real love for the Word of God causes you to seek it out. A real love for the Word of God, that's what gets you up early in the morning, not your alarm clock. Right? Because for most of you, that don't work anyway. But it's when God gives you a love for the Word of God, you'll find a way. You'll find a place. Somewhere where you can commune with God and have God show you himself of things yet to come. If you're here this Sunday and your love for the Word of God is not what it should be, come. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. That God give you back the love for the Word of God. If you're here this Sunday and your love for the people of God, it's not what it should be. If you find yourself holding resentment, anger, frustration with God's elect, come. We've got to pull up that. That's what the Bible called the root of bitterness. You got to get it out because it'll destroy you. It'll set you up to believe the son of perdition. Come, if you're here this Sunday, and you don't like him and you don't like her, you don't like this and you don't like that. Come, let's get that thing out of you. That root of bitterness is going to kill you. My grandmother used to make us go back. What? Pull it up by the root. Because if you don't get that thing up, you'll be right back here next week. And that thing will just be doing more and more damage. If you're here, if you're joining us online, get in the chat. Say, Pastor, I got to get rid of it. It's already robbed me of half my life. That root of bitterness is what's causing me to believe a lie. It's what's causing me to be frustrated. But today God sends his word. And he said, the truth shall set you free. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, in the name of Jesus. My God, your word is so powerful. Your word is so amazing. Oh my God, thy word, oh Lord. Help me to hide it in my, help me, Lord Jesus. Help me. Thy word, oh Lord. It's a light to my feet. Thy word, oh Lord, brightens my pathway. Thy word, oh Lord. Thy word, oh Lord. Thank you for thy word. Because it's by your preaching of your word that my soul has been saved. And I have received the gift of your precious Holy Ghost. And so, Lord, we thank you that we are preserved and kept by and through your word. We look forward and long to the day when you shall come again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The word of God. I say this if we're out of here. The Bible writer said, heaven and earth may pass away, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. There's nothing more stable we know than the earth itself. There is nothing more desirable than heaven itself. But Jesus causes us to understand that there is something greater. Greater than this world that we know. Greater than the heaven. He says, thy word. Heaven and earth may pass away, but thy word shall stand forever. Even if I don't make heaven bar, help me to just stand in the word of God. That'll keep me right. Whatever the new heaven, the old, whatever it may be, if I just stay in the word of God, I got my ticket to whatever God has in store for me. Thanks a lot, guys. End time preaching is difficult because our minds aren't wired that way. But I think we made it. I think the Holy Spirit did something today. I think he did something in us that helped secure and seal our future. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Thanks, Sister Christina. Thank you.
Amen. Amen, amen. So if there is anyone here without a church home, we would like to open our doors. Amen, amen. So, moving on, we are going to move on to offering. It's offering time. Amen. I'm going to call up our brother Preston to do the offering.
If you have a prayer request, again, please visit our website, www.taylortabernacle.com, and find our prayer request page, or call our church at 215-748-4578 and leave a message. Transition to Sister Christina Rourke. And now we will move to our time of giving announcements, followed by our benediction. Offering. Good morning, Taylor Tabernacle, our friends and family. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, we give through one of five ways, including to give online through our website, Venmo, Cash App, or also using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text code Taylor 61 to text phone to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com, giving and following instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please give and send check or money to order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, P.A., P.A. 19139. Venmo and at Taylor Tabernacle 6309. Cash App is not working at this time. For those y'all with us in the sanctuary today, we will find two offering baskets next to the side room door. One of your tithes offerings and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. You may also give an offering to our pastor via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App Pastor Jonathan Ford. Venmo at Jonathan Ford 25. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
And next, we will have announcements by Sister Leah Davis.
Good morning. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us and worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has had the COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. Every first Sunday, we will gather 8:30 a.m. in person corporate prayer, followed by morning worship at 10 a.m. Wednesday nights, prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meet. We look forward to seeing your child every second, third, fourth, and fifth Sundays. Pastor Ford's Wiley Challenge, please remember. And Taylor Tabernacle Men's Day at the Phillies baseball game. It will be Saturday, June 29th, 4:05 p.m. You all will be tailgating starting at 2:05 p.m. All money is due by May 26th. It is $40 per person. Please cash at Deacon Tyrone Davis at $TYDavis422. There are 220 days until Christmas. Can you all believe it? Now's the perfect time to begin planning our participation in Prison Fellowship's Angel Tree Christmas. If you are interested in volunteering with or giving toward Angel Tree this Christmas, please join us for a short information session on Sunday, June 2nd. Please bring all questions and ideas. For additional questions, please contact Sister Zakiya Price.
Come on, shall we stand? Again, thank you so much for your attention. Thank you so much for your patience. Just to add my voice to the Phillies game, guys, we're all going. So get your money in, get a flyer from Ty if you don't have it. But let's get our monies in by next Sunday. Okay. We're going to have everyone going. So get that in. It's going to be a great day of fellowship. Fathers and sons, grandsons, all of it. We're going to be doing it. Okay. We have that also. If you were on Wednesday night, I gave out a document dealing with the terminology of the end times. If you didn't get that, make sure you see Zakiya Price. She's here today. She helped me out on Wednesday night. You want to get that document. This is what we're going to be on for the next couple of weeks. So get that document. It'll be a great addition to your Bible study notes, resources, whatever you're keeping. And then lastly, hand me my phone, Tom. I wanted to do this. Lynn Rossiter said she's giving out. Hold that. Someone next to her is moving out. So this is what she asked me to do, and I'm going to do it. Her neighbor or someone's moving out next to her, and this is what they have to give away. Okay, so if it's something that could be a blessing to you or your family, a child's travel sleeping cot, mattress and bedding, a child's car booster seat, a dozen books or so, ages 0 to 2, a chair and lounger cushion, weatherproof, 2 small gallon fish tank plus accessories, including a heater pump, a large office desk and chair, 2 queen bed bases, a 30 inch square white top table, and a wooden dog crate suitable for a small dog in a long haul aircraft hold. Okay? So I'm just mentioning that. If any of that is of interest to you, follow up with Jermaine. Lynn's not here, but in her absence, Jermaine is. She can get you out to where that is, if that can be a blessing to you or to your family. Amen? Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that we've had to gather in this place and to gather with people that bear your name, with those that have like precious faith. And Father, go with us as we depart this place, but not your presence. Stand up strong in us and give us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is our prayer. All of God's people say amen, amen, amen again. God bless you, Taylor. Have a great week.